Hello, hello, hello. It's Shailene, and I'm here with Tanya. Say hey.
Hey.
I'm so excited to be with you here today, recording this episode of Collective Language. How are you today?
I'm good. It's rainy, but, you know, surviving.
Chilly, for sure.
Yes. Very chilly.
Well, again, thank you for being here on this rainy-ass day. Very rainy day.
Yeah.
Just to give a little intro about myself, I'm Jailene. My pronouns are she, her. I'm from Chicago, and I'm currently based in Brooklyn. I've been in New York for almost 7 years, and with Collective Focus for almost 3. And Tanya here is from Flatbush, New York, has been with Collective Focus for 3.5 years now. Would you like to tell us, you know, how did you find out about Collective Focus? What brought you to the hub?
I think I found out by Collective Focus through TikTok. My friend sent me a TikTok because I was talking about how I was looking to volunteer somewhere, and I think it was like a video of like Tuesday Distro happening. And then one day I just popped up and got involved. Yeah.
Social media has helped mutual aid organizations so much. We need to put a face to, you know, the organization. So that's really cool that you found out. I think I just walk past a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't live so far. So was just like, you know, I'm looking for somewhere to be in community and, you know, learn more about where I'm at. So to talk about, you know, community, how involved are you in community work, and how do you think you've helped community here in Brooklyn grow?
I think I'm involved in community work here by just like being a consistent face that provides help and like resources if anybody needs something. I think our position as a physical space in the community is a place where people come to us in like immediate need. So our job is to kind of help them out and fill out the gaps and kind of connect them to spaces or resources that they don't know about or have access to. How do I help the community grow? I think, and just, yeah, providing help.
Showing up.
Yeah, showing up. Whenever anybody asks that question, it's like, in my mind, it was like, I don't do anything grand.
Mm.
I just come out and help out. Yeah. That's the best way I could put it. It's just like helping people get food, helping people get clothes, baby clothes. I need to go see the doctor. I need help filling out this form. That's the way I help.
Is being involved in community work something that you did growing up, or is your family into it too?
It's not something I did growing up. I think the idea of mutual aid is a very, I don't know, propped up idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a lot of communities, it just happens very naturally, right? And just knowing your neighbors, helping out where you can, helping out babysitting, giving extra food, extra clothes, pulling together resources, even to like open up a business or an organization. I think there are always examples like that in my community. I grew up on Flatbush. Flatbush has always been like the Little Caribbean, specifically my neighborhood, Little Haiti, which my parents are from. And the way community showed up when I was growing up, it's like everybody was watching everybody's kids.
Mm-hmm.
You cooked for their kids. If somebody's sick, you like cook for them. If you have extra food, you give it out. It's just like pooling together resources. So in those ways, it's just very natural. It was never considered mutual aid. It's just like being a neighbor, being a friend, being a community member. And it's not even like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just very natural. It's not even like you're necessarily really close family friends with people, but like if they had an emergency, they would knock on your door and be like, can you watch my kid while I deal with this? And then my parents or other parents in my apartment building would do it. It's like we all just grew up together. So examples like that is my examples of mutual aid. I feel like old Brooklyn was very much like that. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody hanging out on the streets. We go to the same corner stores. The people in the corner stores look out for you. You go to the same shops. They look out for you. You get to know your neighbors in that way. And it's a lot more support. Mm-hmm. So in the ideas of that being mutual aid, yes. But have I ever like physically come to a space outside of my neighborhood where it's a lot more cohesive thought into operations? No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I definitely feel that, I mean, here that's, I mean, the way that, especially in Brooklyn, but New York generally is like set up, there are delis, there are mm-hmm. bodegas, corner stores everywhere. Mm-hmm. And there's so much familiarity that people appreciate, which is like such a like a traditional way of like just caring as neighbors, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just, frankly, it's I'm not gonna say that it's not like, you know, in any culture or anything, that it's not, that it's like more present in one than the other, but it definitely does feel like in more, you know, Black and Latino, like, neighborhoods, more, like, Middle Eastern, like, that is something that, to this day, is still practiced, though, and it's not called that, right? Because mutual aid as a term, probably, within the last 10 years, maybe, has been popping up more.
Yeah.
But especially since, you know, the pandemic.
Right.
2020. Well, that makes me, you know, feel that your community does support wellness in some way, you know, caring for each other. But how far would you say that, like, wellness is, you know, really supported in your community, like, apart from that? You know, when, like, when you think of wellness, we're thinking, you know, physical, mental, but also, like, creating things to maintain that, you know, for yourself individually, but as a community. Do you think that was, you know, happening growing up and is still happening now, or is it, like, more prevalent now than before?
I think in ways that we're discussing it, I think the way people view wellness now is very different and commercialized in a sense of, like, wellness is, like, you go to your fitness classes or you go to the gym or you do self-care and you do these things. I don't think that's how wellness was propped up growing up to me or in my community. Wellness in a way of, like, maintaining health, as Haitians, we do a lot of, like, natural medicine. That's something I've always grew up around. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, herb elixirs, or like if you're sick, they would do this type of, like, bath for you or give you this tea and different natural medicine. That's different from wellness that I am used to now. In terms of wellness in the community, I think I think it just showed in kind of, like, getting together in very, like, natural ways. I feel like in my neighborhood, we had a lot of third spaces, especially, well, New York is kind of like this now, but especially, like, old New York, when it's hot, it's like everybody's on the block. Like, especially when kids come home from school.
With the fire hydrant open.
Yeah, the fire hydrant's open. Everybody just got off of work. They're hanging out inside of the outside of the building. The bodegas are out, and they're, like, kind of doing things for kids. Like, growing up, for me, it was, like, if there was always adults around and they shared the responsibility of, like, looking after kids. Like, if the ice cream truck was out and you didn't have money, somebody was going to buy you ice cream. If you went to the deli, they were giving us free stuff. Like, our landlord growing up would take all of us to the deli, and he would buy us ice cream all the time.
That's so sweet.
Like, I would go to, like, delis and bakeries that I've went to since I was a child because I grew up on Flatbush, and it's just, like, they know you, and they would just give you stuff. Growing up, like, people would give me gifts on the street that didn't even know me. Like, a random...
Oh, but I know your mom.
Yeah.
Or I know your dad, yeah.
Or, like, I've seen you walking, so I'm going to buy you a Barbie doll and then give it to you the next time I see you. Like, things like that. I think wellness in the way of just, like, natural community, natural, like, not having to make much effort to, like, spend time with people or relax with other people. Like, we used to have block parties all the time in the summer. We used to crack open the fire hydrant. And it's just, like, what's it called? Water park day for the kids, like, literally. And that's, like...
Everybody's there.
Yeah, everybody's there. And that's, like, our idea of wellness. And you would have so much fun with not so little, but, like, you didn't need money or, like, this big, elaborate, like, push to, like, have fun. It would just be, like, oh, like, everybody's outside. There's somebody to talk to. There's kids to hang out with. Like, you know what I'm saying? Things were just given to us so effortlessly.
Are your parents from Haiti or first gen? Like, did they are born here in Flatbush?
No, my parents are from Haiti. They migrated and moved to Flatbush, and I lived there since the first day I came home from the hospital up until, like, I was 14, 15.
Dang.
Yeah, in the same apartment building.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that, because the next few, like, questions is making me think of what you just said. It seems that, like, in Haitian communities, in, for me, like, a Hispanic community, like, wellness was okay, like, the natural way. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the traditional way. That was the only way. It was that we live here where everything is just so commercialized. Everything is under capitalism, and it's like it's marketed to think that the natural way is not the best way.
Yeah.
You know? So what I'm hearing is, like, in our communities, in our families, it's like wellness was already something we did. But to think about exactly what you said, like, what wellness is thought of now is, like, people are the most, you know, like, not minority communities, right? They're barely, like, reaching to what we've already been on, you know? Like, you know, natural fruits and vegetables, all of that was a part of what we already ate.
Yeah.
What was,
so,
like,
naturally, like,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, because probably, do you think probably in assimilating or maybe, like, just being a little bit curious, like, that's why there are certain families or anything who may have, like, strayed away from that because, like, maybe it's just, like, you can be, like, lenient or flexible with it just because, you know, whatever, like,
yeah.
It's not that I'm not going to think that how we practice things or what we ate, like, or how we moved, you know, physical movement, it's not that any of that is bad, but curious to know that because it's different here in America, what is that like? So are there any gaps that you want to highlight about, like, why now, like, the difference of, like, wellness being what it is now and, like, why that even is a thing. Like, do you see, like, in your community that access to certain things that wellness seems like it is now is just not accessible to them? And why not, though? Like, because these things already existed. Yeah. And you're already, like, what?
I think
functioned, you know?
To go back to, like, the idea of what it was like to grow up in New York City when I was younger, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people forget that the essence of New York City has come from people who've come from other countries mm-hmm. and come here and kind of build up communities and cultures that cultivate, like, this rich place where, like, New York City is such a big city. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of immigrant communities, not only in New York City, if, like, one goes, the rest of the country follows. Because it's all by word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's all by, like, resources. So, like, if my mother was the first of her family to come here, then she immigrated my uncle. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, that's how, like, immigrants travel. So back home, you're always with your family. You're always eating naturally. You're always within community. You're always practicing medicine. That's all things that are passed down. Mm-hmm. So I think growing up in my neighborhood, where it was majority Caribbean and a majority Haitian already, it was more natural for them to follow the routine because it's like, I'm around my people. We do things similarly. We all are looking out for each other because you have no family other than each other. Mm-hmm. We all are raising kids with the same goal in mind. Mm-hmm. That's why I think me growing up, I grew up with a whole bunch of, like, neighbor kids in my building because our family had the same idea of, like, we work really hard to, like, take care of our kids and take care of our family, and we fill in the gaps with each other when we can. And we don't have much, but, like, we lean on each other. And I think in a lot of things, especially in New York City, in a lot of things where things get expanded or integrated, you kind of lose the essence of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Brooklyn is the same. My neighborhood is definitely not the same. Like, Flatbush is completely different in demographics. And then you lose that sense of community. You lose that sense of connection. You lose that natural instinct to, like, hold on to, like, wellness and, like, community engagement and, like, knowing who your neighbors are and being invested in who your neighbors are, because now your neighbors are always moving. Mm-hmm. Like, growing up in my building, everybody's lived there for 15 plus years. Nobody lives there anymore. Like, it's completely different. A lot of the places I've gone to have closed. So, like, a lot of the places where you would go get your natural things are closed now anyway. It's like you lose, like, kind of sense of investment, mm-hmm. I think. And it's easy to, like, look how other people do it and think, and then start leaning that way. Even me, I love a Pilates class. I love, like, a green juice or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's like we're losing the plot a little. Like, everything has become so commercialized mm-hmm. that we think, like, spending money is, like, wellness. Like, me going to buy this, like, $8 drink is wellness. Me going to Pilates is wellness. Me buying this thing is wellness. And it's also kind of, like, how we have to buy community in a way, too, because a lot of the ways that people socialize in general, especially young people, it's like you're going to parties, you're going to a bar, you're going to an event mm-hmm. in search of connection and community, or you have to find individualized space like this where it's very, like, structured or, like, purposeful. It's like it's not as natural mm-hmm. anymore. And I think that's how the shift of wellness happens. Well, especially in, like, I think in New York City. I think as much as we talk about, like, changing demographics or gentrification, I think the frustration of all that is, like, it's not even that, oh, other people are moving in. It's just, like, we're losing connection. Like, we're losing staples. We're losing that natural ability to, like, go outside and engage with our neighbors in ways that we have always done. 'Cause New York is hard to live in. Mm-hmm. It's hard to survive.
What you're saying is like, it's exactly what we're, what we see, what you're saying New Brooklyn is like, right? These natural shops are now, they're somewhat in a different version, like, oh, are these like, I'm thinking of just like any random, like,
yeah. They repackage what we already know.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Literally. I'm like, it's like, how many like are we gonna like keep doing? Where it's like, okay, then you're closing down where that started. Like you're shutting that out in its own community,
the originator, and then you're repackaging it to mean a $10 drink. It's not accessible. Yeah,
it's not as accessible, and so.
But I think in a lot of ways, I don't know. I think in a lot of ways, people come to New York City with an idea of New York City, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a place you could be yourself. You can like dress however you want. You can do whatever you want. You can like redesign your essence. But then they come and redesign the community as well. I don't know.
That's exactly what. Yeah. It may have attracted them, right?
In the first place, yeah, the essence.
Exactly.
Like, even in, especially in Brooklyn, I feel like Brooklyn has become more popular in the last few years. Even in thinking about Flatbush, when I grew up, I went to private school growing up. Mm-hmm. Flatbush was considered a bad area. Nobody would go there. Nobody wanted to live there. Mm-hmm. And it was like, when I told people I lived in Flatbush, it was kind of like, ooh, you live on Flatbush? And now Flatbush is completely gentrified, mm-hmm. top to bottom. And it's just like, and then they repackage stuff that we've already had.
I mean, they're doing that in wellness. They're doing that in so many other ways. Like, I mean, talking about even neighborhood names changing, you know?
Right.
That's, like, another way, like...
Yeah.
I bet, like...
PLG, you, what is that?
I don't know. What the fuck is all this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. Thank you for sharing that. I think that was really good insight. I'm wondering what type of media do you enjoy or are you trying to stay away from? Do you feel are you that socially aware of like, okay, a lot of what I see on social media just feels fabricated, or are you feeling like, I mean, that's probably what you're trying to stay away from and what you're like, this just seems like a part of like the reality that I'm already seeing, but now it's on my phone and it's like, that isn't what I want. What are some like positives or negatives about the media that you're seeing on your phone, on TikTok, podcasts, or any like TV?
I mean, you already know, I don't really have social media like that. I only have TikTok, and I'm a passive scroller. Kind of in a way of, like, I don't know, it's very Aquarius in me. I'm just, like, a very private person. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of putting personal pictures online. Mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of putting, like, pictures of my family or friends online either, because it's none of your business. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the idea. I think what makes social media very hard for me to fully engage is I don't like the idea of keeping up with people or people keeping up with me for the sake of keeping up.
And only on there.
Yeah, and only on there. Like, somebody that I've known when I was in middle school, when I was 10 years old, doesn't necessarily need to know what I'm up to right now, or like what my friends look like, or what my family looks like, or what I did this past weekend. I don't know. I've just never been into it. I will say, though, the TikTok algorithm has gotten me. But I think I have to put limitations on. Like, for anything that I consume, I really do have to put limitations on it. Because it's very easy to get swept up by what you see. Especially online now. I think a lot of the media that we consume is divisive. In put in front of us to, like, distract us, to divide us, to, like, just feed us propaganda. And a lot of these things are just, like, rage bait. You know what I'm saying? So I think my limitations for how I consume TikTok is, like, I don't have TikTok on my phone. I have it on my, like, iPad. And then I, like, you know
what I'm saying? So much self-control.
Like, it's hard, but, like, I need it. Because, like, I can find myself, like, being very swept up into something dumb somebody says online, or, like, especially in this political climate, I just can't feed my energy into that.
I hear you. As a person who's on social media, I definitely feel that I miss the casual feeling of being on social media and not being, like, hit with being sold anything. Like, up until a few years ago, that's exactly, like, what the shift was. Yeah. Like, oh, we're not just posting just pictures, like, of anything random or ourselves or even keeping stuff private, like, having private accounts. Like, all of that completely changed, I think, in the last... Right. 5-7 years.
And it's because more curated, you have a persona. Yeah.
And I think that's the part that, to me, like, I don't really associate, like, myself. Like, I think of, in my own way, how I could show something that if I like it and if I want to help promote, it's not going to look how all these other, like, templates, it seems, that creative, like you know, influencers, that whole word, like, how that's even, like, you're in your own bubble. I think, like, I'm even too shy to even, like, dip my toe into that. But I think what's interesting is that I know of, you know, some people that feel that, but do it in their own way, very seamlessly and very authentically, that it's like, okay, you sure, like, that is cool that you can represent in the a community and do it in your own way and be you, right? But the point is, a lot of people forget or don't care about that, right? They're like, it's, that's not what it is anymore. But I mean, I'm still on it because I'm like, regardless if that's not what it is, people who I, like, you know, am looking at and people that I connect with are people that I'm connecting even outside of that. So it's like,
yeah,
I will say, feeling so of a disconnect.
I will say, though, the people that I consume on social media, even though I, like, consume them in, like, maybe a long video format, are very authentic people. I think social media does a great way of connecting people or connecting you to, like, different perspectives or ideas or lifestyles that you didn't even think was imaginable, and you can find people who you relate to. And I think that's great. I do have, like, a few people that I enjoy, like, watching their content or seeing them. And I think that's valuable, especially when I don't feel like I'm being sold something. I hate feeling like everything is a walking ad. But I also think social media is detrimental to me in a way of, like, even, like, especially on TikTok. I feel like TikTok has become, like, an app that was an app that was so silly and fun in the first place. And now, like, everybody has a think piece. And not even in a bad way, but, like, there's so many people with, like, bigger thoughts or, like, bigger ideas, where I'm a very introspective person anyway. Like, my brain is always on. It's never off. Like, I'm always thinking. Yeah. And, like, really introspectively, like, really deep analysis, and like I can watch a TikTok and it's like, okay, now this is feeding another thought and another idea. Mm. And it makes me feel like I have to learn everything under the sun. Mm. And sometimes it's just like, no, chill. Yeah. Like literally.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that goes hand in hand with like, if I keep scrolling, mm-hmm. I'm going to be keep feeding yeah. so much.
I think we're a little too aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a good thing and a bad thing of like, it's a good thing because like now media isn't controlled by like major conglomerates or like major media networks. And we can see like all sides of things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're too aware yeah. in all senses. And it like, life is already hard enough. Without having to be super hyper aware of everything happening in the world. And now, like, I'm thinking of my thoughts and then your thoughts. And then this person adds, like, makes another video. I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. Now I'm thinking more.
Do you watch the news?
No.
How do you feel then when that is on social media? Like news, yeah. And that's how you then find out.
I'm gonna say I used to like I mean Haitians in general are very political people, mm-hmm. but like my dad used to watch and read the newspaper every day, and I used to do the same thing. I used to watch and do the newspaper, and watch and read the newspaper every day. I stopped doing that. I think I really stopped. I leaned off watching the news after Trayvon Martin died, I think, because it's like everybody was watching the trial. Well, especially in my community, everybody was watching the trial. And then it went how it went and everybody's devastated. And it's constant like political commentary on the humanity of people's lives. And then Mike Brown happened. And then I was like, ugh, again. And then George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, like all those things happening back to back. After that, I really cut off the news because I think in a way of like the news is like supposed to be like giving us awareness or like unbiased news or like what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's hard to open like it's like fear mongering. It's like hard to open the TV every day and it, like people are like having political debates on people's humanity. And then just showing you bad things after bad things. And it's divisive. It's like something you see on ABC is different from what you see on NBC to what you see on Fox. Mm-hmm. And in general. And after that, I was very, for my own mental health, I was like, I can't watch this anymore. So I've stopped watching it. Seeing it on social media too, I think it's different because instead of it being from media conglomerates, it's like from everyday people who are just staying informed. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I think, a little biased because it's just like they can't tell you everything in like 10 minutes
right.
or like 5 minutes or be unbiased. But it's like you have to do your own due diligence, I guess.
I hear you. I feel that about watching the news because my dad, like, still watches the news, like, a lot, and he not only then watches, like, the news here, but then, like, the news in Colombia. And, I mean, just seeing the difference of what happens, yeah. but also being, like, this is still, like, the same thing happening, just in a whole different place. Yeah. And then, like, being... Like, my dad, even still to this day, would just share, like, random news links of being, like, anything intense. He's just like, well, this is what you have to know. And I'm yeah. like, like, yeah, you're so right. But I'm like, watching it is just,
yeah.
it's a lot to consume. It's a lot that when you're already, like, outside and you're already that
yeah.
aware and then to know that, okay, there's still always going to be more. Mm-hmm. That
it just feeds to my paranoia.
Yeah, I'm yeah. like that. I'm not being resistant to being like I don't want to know and be informed. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like there's a capacity of like my emotional like well-being where I'm like, I just can't. Right. Like,
and it's hard enough
bringing that up to other people, like, you know, even sharing like, hey, did you hear about this or that? Like, it's a lot easily because of what the last, I mean, how media has always been, but like how what we've seen even be then translated all over on social media, not just on like TV networks. It just is it.
Yeah.
It's like an overload, you know? So just it's like trying to be more conscious of like triggering people, or you yourself, like being triggered, you know? It's like, I'm good on that today, but not to say that I don't feel for what, you know?
Right. Other people are going through.
Yeah.
I think media, like, acts like a mirror, like, it's reflecting everything off of you, but it's not even just, like, you're in the mirror, everybody's in the mirror.
Yeah.
And, no, I'm so serious when I say, like, life is already hard as it is, like, I feel like when I'm too tapped in, I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
Like, even on my, like, if I'm too heavy on, like, social media, I've lost the plot, like, yeah.
Then it's like, okay, I gotta sit myself down.
I gotta put the phone down. And touch
take some
grass.
Deep breaths, yeah. You know, think about something positive. Tap in, lean into someone, lean into community, into family. Yeah.
And I've been thinking about getting a flip phone, but I'm like, maybe that's too extreme.
You know, I know some people that have that, and I mean, they're still living like full lives, you know. It's like we're only going back a little bit in time, but it's like there's still ways to feel so like tapped in, you know. That was, I'm glad that we discussed that. Moving forward, we have some fun or kind of fun. Some fun, like, million-dollar questions, right? Have you ever couch hopped?
No, I'm not a couch hopper.
You're not a couch hopper. You're like, I need a bed.
I need a bed.
Comfort. You know that. You know what you like.
Yeah.
I love it. You think you can make it work regardless if you had a low budget versus a large budget? Have you had an experience with,
I think,
making it work with what you got? Or, like, is it harder to be like, oh, I have so much of a budget, so then I don't want to go too crazy?
I don't know. I don't think I'm, like, I think I could make it work on a low budget, right? But that's just because, I don't know, I'm not, like, a huge spender. So everything I have is, like, I like and enjoy and will wear or use time and time again. So I think my baseline in everything I do is, like, to maximize comfort. Like, even when I travel, like, I'm not, like, obviously, I'm not bawling. But, like, my apartment is comfortable. I like nice things. If I'm traveling, it's like, I'm not the type of person who's like, when I go to the country, I'm looking for the cheapest option. I'm going to stay at a hostel. I'm not going to do that, actually. I'm going to stay at a hotel.
And because if you got it, and if you're able to, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
And it has to be clean, and it has to be comfortable.
There's some standards.
Yeah,
exactly. For sure.
I don't think I'm one of those people who can, like, thug it out. I can't thug it out, actually. I can't. Yeah. I can't. What are you?
I think, I have, so, this is an interesting thing that you might relate to. I think I'm leading towards, like, a more minimal, you know, minimalist lifestyle, but coming from a family, especially a mom who has a grand maximalist style, but because of a scarcity mindset.
My mom is that way too.
Like, yeah. I mean, my mom, growing up in Colombia, like, she was raised by a single mom, mm-hmm. and she was the oldest of two girls. So, like, what I know is that, okay, like, we really, my grandma was a seamstress, so she really, like, mm-hmm. didn't have a lot to provide other than, like, okay, like, week by week, day by day. Like, that is how things go. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I buy things for that day. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next day, whatever I think I need, we go that day. But yeah. then, like, coming here, that really transformed. My mom came here when she was, like, a teenager. So when being that she came as a teenager and that now she's, like, in her 50s, like, she's really grown into, like, oh, my God, the world is my oyster mm-hmm. here because there's so much more than where I came from.
Yeah.
And like, what if I need something, yeah. you know? And, like, because I didn't have anything or I didn't have much, even though I made that work, I worked hard or I try to lead this life that I want because I deserve it. So this is why I'm like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you relate to that.
Yeah, my mom was the oldest of 12 kids.
that so, doesn't yeah. happen anymore.
Yeah, that doesn't happen
my anymore. Grandma is out of 11, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
that does not happen anymore.
Yeah, and she's like the first one. I mean, she's the oldest.
Wow.
12. Yeah, 12. And she is, like that, where she's, like, we can already have stuff at home, and then she'll just bring more. And it's, like, every day it's something, like, when I tell you we have, like, crystal and crystal plates and, like, vintage teacups and just, like, and, like, a ridiculous amount of tea towels. And it's just, like, it doesn't make any sense. But it's the ability to have it and, like, have nice things. And it's not, like,
you never know.
You never know. And all the nicest, like, duvets and stuff, and they don't use it. She doesn't use it. They always save it for a special occasion.
Or they give it away. Oh, yeah. oh so this is why. Because I have something now. Yeah. Oh, I don't need it. Okay, I'm going to give it away. But yeah. that's why I keep buying.
Yeah.
Oh, because you never know. Or, oh, I give it away.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I think that. I, like, got her level of, like, liking nice things, but, like, in a minimalist way.
Same.
Like, I don't overdo it. Because I hate clutter.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. I hear you. That is so funny. I feel like that is true in so many other households that, you know, come from immigrant parents,
yeah.
backgrounds. Yeah. One last interesting question. Is there anything you would like to tell your younger self about anything? What would Tanya now want Tanya then to know?
I don't know. Like, in thinking about that question, I'm just like, I really don't know. Probably to stay true to myself. But I think I've always been myself at the same time. I don't know how to answer that question. I think growing up is so hard, especially when you're like, it's my first day out here for real.
Literally.
And your parents didn't grow up the same way. I don't think that there was anything that I could tell myself that would more prepare myself.
Mm.
I feel like every day is like a catch-up game. Mm. I don't know. What would you tell your younger
self? I guess advice would be, like, stay alert, stay on your toes. Like,
yeah.
Advice that I think you can give yourself is being like, this may feel like every day it could be another chance to be like a lot
mm-hmm.
going on. So have a balance of how much you feel like that involved in and being able to also pour back
into yourself.
So I guess a balance of pouring into others and pouring back into yourself, or rather keep your eyes open. Like, you know, just
be. I guess I would tell myself to find center. I feel like I've always been super distracted, foggy, like in my head, but also like it was always a lot going on.
Are there any practices that you may have grown into, like what you do now, that you probably like you would want your younger self to like
I think
try out, if anything, to help that, you know?
Right. I think one, I take meditation seriously. I like meditate. I think that it's like essential to me, like feeling good. I think spending time with myself, writing in a way. What else? I don't
know.
Those
are some good things.
Right.
I feel that too. But I mean, my outlet was a little different. I started dancing since I was a kid. So it was like my way of like being able to separate myself is like, oh, because like not a lot of people danced and took it that serious. Like that was my lane, my escape. That was my distraction. And it was healing. The fact that was something I love doing is like really, I'm happy that that's what I chose to do. But the way that happened is really just because my mom was like, I'm not going to have kids who don't know how to dance. Yeah. So, you know, like, I guess, thank you, mom, like, right. for.
I think when I was younger, I always leaned into like academics, I guess, like reading. I was the kid that was like reading the dictionary front to back, but I don't think that it was as helpful, you know what I'm saying, to like finding center. I think academics in a way kind of camouflages like your real wants,
very
who
true
you really are. So maybe like, yeah, to find something that I liked. And like centering that. I think I've only kind of like found out more who I am as an adult, because as I got older, I was constantly doing newer things. Mm-hmm. Like I would do a lot of solo traveling. I would like take a Pilates class, take a Polish class, like constantly do things and put myself in uncomfortable positions. And that's helped me like figure out more of who I am than like when I was younger, and it's kind of like all I had was like books or like doing well in school. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a real identity. That's
Which
like a performance.
Yeah. Maybe influenced by the fact that being here, and I don't know if your family like, you know, would tell you that sentiment of like, oh, such a privilege to be in a school, or you know, to do certain things that probably they couldn't do, made it more of like, oh my God, I have to like really get my shit together, or be like that goody two shoes and try my hardest.
And I think in being a girl, especially and being like a girl in an immigrant family, you are always taught to put other people before yourselves. Like even thinking of our mothers, it's like they always put other people in front of themselves. And then you think that's how it is to operate as a person, where it's like you're doing things that other people want you to do, or like always serving others, or like being a second character in your own life type of thing. And I've had to like unlearn that as an adult, right?
Same.
Even in small ways. Because, like, when you're, like, raised like that subconsciously, you're just, like, being a second character in your own life always, and it's always what other people want, and you think that you're, like, leading your own life, but it only, like, strays you farther from yourself, mm-hmm. in a way. So having that, like, thing, like, dance really, like, probably would center you and, like, mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much something I have tapped in and reconnected with again as an adult after feeling that academics was, like, academics and dance was kind of how I camouflaged, but then coming here after, like, having such a, like, long journey of knowing what dance was like mm-hmm. in one city, where coming here I was like, to find that and to also be in a new environment, learn everything, be in school, I fell off having that be my outlet.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I'm so glad that I did, because I did, but I wish it hadn't been that long since I, you know, reconnected with it. But I feel you. I mean, I'm hearing our mothers have that
yeah.
influence on us.
Yeah.
Well, that is all for today. Like, I'm so fulfilled. Like, I'm so glad that we had such a good conversation. Is there any last things you'd want to say? Anyone you want to say hi to on the podcast?
There's nothing I want to say. Nothing I want to promote. But, like, thank you for interviewing me.
Yes.
I feel very special.
You are so special.
Yeah.
And you're so special to the Hub.
Thank you.
And I'm glad that I met you here. And I'm glad that you show up as yourself. And that there's a chance to tell your story here.
Right. This is cool.
Yay. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Collective Language, this episode with Tanya and myself, Jailene. Please be on the lookout for more things going on at the Hub and more on Collective Language soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Arigato. Yeah, cheers, man. 감사합니다.